I'm glad that He will hold me fast. You have your Bible open to Matthew chapter number 11, and we have read in your hearing the last three verses. These three verses we looked at last week. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one under your chair or the chair next to you. Or if you want to look on with someone next to you, feel free to do that. We just kind of go verse by verse and take words and explain the meaning so that we can see what God says. I think it would help you if you could look on. If not, well, that's fine too. But if you want to, there should be a Bible, as I said, under your chair or maybe one next to you, or look on with someone there by you. Matthew chapter number 11, this has been coined as the Great Invitation. The Lord Jesus has been sent a message by John the Baptist when he was in prison. John was a little discouraged, and we talked about that last week. I told you last week that I had two points to the message. I preached one of them. The first point, if you remember, was rest. And then the second point was rest. There's two rests in Matthew chapter 11. I want to point them out to you, and then we'll talk a little bit about the first one, then get in detail about the second one. We talked about this first one in verse 28, Matthew 11, verse 28, where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is a rest that is a gift. This is a rest that Jesus says you receive when you come. When you come unto Him. It didn't say come into the church. I'm thankful for the church. Didn't say come into a priest or a preacher. Didn't say come into a family member. Jesus said, if you want eternal life, if you want rest from the restlessness of your enmity with God, then you come unto me, Jesus said, and I will give. It's a gift. It's not something you earn. It's not something that you deserve. It's something that Jesus will give as a gift. I will give you rest. And that is a rest that we find when we are justified by faith. We get peace with God. You see, before you're saved, before your sins are forgiven, there is a restlessness. There is a restlessness in the soul of man. But when a man comes to Christ, God gives him rest. Aren't you glad that you know that rest? I am enjoying that rest. Now here's really a paradox, and I want you to notice it with me. Jesus is going to tell us in these next two verses, you that have received the gift of rest, I'm going to give you rest. Now what does he mean by that? Well, that's what I want to unlock for you. I want you to notice, first of all, this rest that you receive, this first rest, it's the rest of salvation. You must be born again. If you leave this world without having your sin forgiven, you will die in your sin and go to hell. So, well, I know that you're not going to stand up there in the 21st century and tell someone they're going to hell. Well, listen, Bible preaching preachers have been saying it since the first century. So we're not going to stop saying what the Bible preaches. Amen. Now, I don't want anyone to go to hell. As a matter of fact, God's not willing that any should go to hell. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, it's God's will that every man would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved in the grace of God. And that's why Jesus stood into that crowd that day and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Did you get that? All ye. See, there's some think, well, you know, maybe salvation is just for this group or that group. I don't know that what there might not be somebody here today or even watching by a live stream that would say, well, you know, that's not for me. I want you to listen very carefully what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. It begins with the letter all and ends with the letter all. Very important. Very important. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. And we have turned everyone into his own way. Now, that's all of us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us need forgiven. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All we like sheep have gone astray, you see. So, well, not me, preacher. Yes, you. Yes, you. Yes, me. We've all sinned against God. You see, we inherited that from the first man, our father, Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. Now listen to this. This is the second all. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Starts with all. All of us are sinners. Ends with all. Jesus died for us all. Amen. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad that this salvation that I talk to you about is a whosoever will. Whosoever will. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And he that is athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life and drink freely. Amen. You can be saved in the grace of God if you choose to. It's a choice. Again, I call your attention to verse number 28. It says, come. That's a choice. That's a choice. Jesus will call you. The Spirit of God will woo you. God has done everything he can do to get you to come. God will call you. The Spirit of God will call you. Jesus has died for you. But you have a personal choice to make, and that is, will you come? It's not due. Some people think you get to heaven by doing. You don't get to heaven by doing. You can't do enough good to get to heaven. That's right. Listen to me now. Listen. You cannot get to heaven by doing. You get to heaven by coming. Not coming to church. Coming to Christ. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. Oh, how I pray that you would come to Christ today if you do not know him. Come. Come. It's the come of salvation. It's the come of pardon. It's to come where you get your sins forgiven. It's to come of justification. But now, if you look in verse number 29, Jesus didn't say come. He said take. You see that? He said take my yoke upon you and learn. Now, here's two very important words that go with come. Come, and you can have rest. But now, after that rest, there is a deeper rest. There is a treasure within a treasure. See, this thing, salvation, just keeps getting gooder and gooder. Hey, amen. Say, that's not good grammar. It's good theology. It just keeps getting better and better. Amen. I'm telling you that this thing called being saved, this thing called being a child of God, is the most wonderful thing in all of heaven and earth. Amen. Yes. See, we get a new name when we get saved. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I'm glad I'm a son of God. Say, so who are you a son of, preacher? You a son of old Charles Freeman? Well, I am. But more importantly, I'm a son of the one true and living God because I have placed faith in the finished work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus died on the cross, that's just not something foreign to me. Jesus died on the cross has been made personal to me. See, I don't look at it Jesus dying for the whole world, though he did. I look at it Jesus died for me. Hey, man, isn't that what Paul said? Who loved me and gave himself, not for the world. He said that in some other places, but in Galatians 2:20, he said, for me. Hey, man, he gave himself for me. Now, in Ephesians, he said he gave himself for the church. That's right. I'm glad that I'm saved. It's a wonderful thing. Now, that's talking about relationship. I want you to get it. That's the come of relationship. That's the first step. But that's not where it ends. Now, Jesus is going to talk to those who have received a rest about getting more rest. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus. I've realized I'm a sinner. I've come. By the way, I said last week, and I will say this, and we'll move on. When you come away from something to something. Notice what Jesus says. He said, come unto me, which means leave where you are and come to me. That's called repentance. See, this is repentance. You're going this way. Come. Yes. Unto me. That's faith. That's right. See, salvation is repentance and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance. Turn. Come. Unto me. Faith in what Jesus has done. Can I tell you, Jesus, now listen carefully. Jesus is the only way to heaven. You cannot get to heaven by being a Baptist. Now, I'm a Baptist. All of this, Baptist. Amen. Baptist. Not ashamed to be a Baptist. Glad I'm a Baptist. Not putting down any other denomination. Not doing it. Not doing it. No good people from a lot of them. That's right. I know some good Pentecostals say, well, you believe like they do? Well, you know, no. But there's some good folks. Met some good Presbyterians. So I've never met one of them. You ought to get out more often. Save folks, brethren. Save people. That's right. So don't leave here and say, well, that preacher up there at Fellowship Baptist Church, he said, if you're watching, you say, well, that preacher down there, he believes that only Baptists are going to heaven. Well, I've never said such a thing. Save people go to heaven. You don't go to heaven for being a Baptist. You go to heaven by being born again. Amen. Trust in Jesus as your personal Savior. It's the only way to heaven. Neither is there salvation, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All right? So I'm talking about relationship. Relationship. Knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Repenting of your sin. Coming unto Christ. And having your sin forgiven. Now, he said, now here's what I want you to do. Once you do that, that's not where it ends. That's not where it ends. You get set free. Now listen carefully. You get set free. Notice what he said, who he wanted to come. All those that labor and are heavy laden. You see that? He said, I want to set you free. I want to deliver you. Amen. I want to deliver you. Now, Jesus is not delivering us from restlessness to become a part of idleness. Please don't miss this. There are so many people that have mistaken what Jesus saved them to do. I'm set free, preacher. I'm set free to do what? Nothing. Oh, no. Oh, no. Now, Jesus saves every one of us to do something. Amen. So don't think Jesus has set you free from restlessness to idleness. Jesus doesn't exchange restlessness for idleness. God, I've said it for years, I've said it here over and over, God is a God of activity. God is at work. God is a God of activity. We are created in the image of God. Work is good. Say it with me. Work is good. Amen. Work is good. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave them a work to do. Ah, work's a curse, preacher. You'll never read that anywhere in the Bible. The sweat, the labor of work is a curse. But work in itself is a blessing. It brings fulfillment. It brings purpose. We need it, brethren. One of the greatest things you'll ever teach your children to do is have a good work ethic. Everybody say amen with me right there. Have a good work ethic. Work before play. Say amen with me. Work before play. Let's get this down today. Work before play. I'm talking about us adults. You thought I was talking about the children, didn't you? Work before play. That's right. Money before food. Work before money. Right? Well, I tell you, we live in a mixed up administration, a mixed up world. Mixed up world. We'll just give people money. We'll just throw money at people and that'll make the world a better place. Hey, I got to tell you, the Word of God doesn't teach that. So I want something. Well, get out there and work for it. You'll be glad you have it. You'll be glad you have it. You'll take care of it too. Amen. Take. Jesus said, take what? Look at it. Take my yoke. Whoa, wait a minute now. I thought my work was done. Oh, no, it's just getting started. You're not going to go from restlessness to idleness. You're going to go from restlessness to business, but in the right business. You done got, listen, you done got hooked into something good when you get saved. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, remember when God revealed to you, you was into something good? When you got saved in the grace of God, has it dawned on you how good this really is? It just keeps getting better and better, brethren. All this in heaven too. Amen. So he told a man who he said, you come unto me, if you're laboring and you're heavy laden, he said, you come to me, I'll give you rest. He said, but not rest to do nothing, not heaviness for nothingness, not restlessness for idleness. He said, I'm going to put you to work doing something good. So you can have what? Purpose. Now here's our second rest. The first rest brings salvation, pardon, relationship. The second rest that I want to talk to you about in these few moments, it brings sanctification. See, God set, that word sanctification means set apart. We've been set apart for something. And so God wants to set us apart to do a work. See, that's what your purpose is. You ever wonder, what are you doing here? What am I doing here? It's a good question. Everybody ought to ask that question. Can I tell you, you'll always have an itch until you answer that question. Nothing will ever do. You'll try one thing after the next. That's what folks are doing. I'm going to try this and see if it'll scratch that itch. It didn't. Well, I think I'll do this. Maybe that'll scratch the itch. It won't. But when you come to Christ and receive pardon, and then you take that yoke and you put, you know what a yoke is, right? How many of you got some farmers in here? You know what a yoke is. You get in the yoke. He said, take my yoke. He didn't, listen, you can't take just any yoke now. He said, take my yoke upon you. Get in with me. What's he saying? Walk with me. Work with me. Get involved in my kingdom. You've been delivered from darkness into light. Amen. You've been set free to serve the one true and living God. Jesus said, work with me. Walk with me. I'll teach you some things. Look what he said. Learn. You see that? Learn of me. Say, preacher, how in the world am I ever going to learn how to live like Jesus? Go to school. You say, school? I'm through with school. I'm sick of school. I am too. No, that's not the school Jesus said. He didn't say, learn of the church. He didn't say, learn of the theologians. Look at it now. He said, learn of me. What have you learned about Jesus since you've been saved? You kick up your heels and say, I learned that he forgave me my sin, and he's reserved a place for me in heaven, preacher. Thank God for that. But there's so much more. Look what he said in that verse. He said, I am meek. He said, I'm going to tell you some things about me. Listen, this second rest, brethren, I'm telling you, it's a treasure. You may be sitting here this morning saying, well, praise God, I come. I've got that first rest. Well, I'm praising God with you, but I want you to know something. There's something deeper. There's something more than just being saved and having pardon. There's being sanctified and set apart and having purpose. Do you have that second rest? Take. Now listen, Jesus don't push it on you and say, now here, bear this. Nope, that's not what it says. Jesus is not going to force you to serve him. Everybody say amen with me now. We're free moral agents. You came here this morning because you chose to. Now I hear some little child saying, preacher, you just don't know the half of it. Bless your heart, amen. I still remember old Brother Kenny. He said, I'm a drug baby. He said, I got drugged to Sunday school, drugged to church, drugged every church function that there was. Well, maybe you had a little encouragement as a child to come. But we're here of our own free will, our own free choice. If you get into this yoke, look at it now. It's a choice. Just like coming's a choice. If somebody has to get you and drag you down to the aisle, you'll never see this preacher doing that kind of stuff. I have absolute confidence in the ministry of the Holy Ghost of heaven. The Holy Ghost will get you where he needs you to be so you can receive the stuff you need from God. Amen. So when you come, that's a choice. By the way, verse 29, take, that's a choice too. Look at it. I'm talking straight out of the scripture here. I want you to know what the word says. That's our theme. The men put it up there. What saith the scripture? What saith the scripture? I want you to know what the Bible says. What saith the scripture? Not some Baptist preacher. All right? What saith the scripture? The scripture says, come, you'll get pardoned, justified. You'll have peace with God. Take, you'll be sanctified. You'll get purpose. You'll have the peace of God. You'll never have the peace of God in your heart until you have purpose in your life. Please hear me this morning. There are so many Christians, good people. They've been saved, but they have not received that peace, the peace of God in their hearts, because they do not know what their purpose is. What's your purpose? What's your purpose? Jesus said, if you'll take my yoke upon you, I'll get you hooked into the right purpose of why I put you on this earth. We're all here for a reason. So I'm an accident, preacher. No, you're not. So my dad said I was. Well, your dad doesn't know about half what he's talking about. And I don't mean that to be mean. You may have been an accident on the human side, but you're not an accident on the divine side. There's a God in heaven who knows all things, and he has you here for a purpose. And he'll make much of your life if you will allow him to. Please let him. Please. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You know what it is to have a yoke on oxen, right? They get that experienced ox, and then they get that unexperienced, that elderly, then they get that younger, and they teach them the way. They teach them the work. And Jesus said, I'll teach you if you'll let me teach you. Walk with me. Work with me. Let me teach you. Let me show you how it's done. See, a lot of folks just think, well, I'm saved. I go down to the church down there in Madison, and I know it all. I know what to do. Most of us don't know half of what to do. We need to let Jesus teach us. Amen. Let Jesus teach you. Get in the school of faith and learn what it is to live by faith and not by sight, to walk by faith. Trust Jesus, brethren. I'm not telling you to trust me. You name another man that could stand up and say, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Can I tell you, Jesus is the only one that could do that. That doesn't make him egotistical. That makes him loving and kind. Think about it. If another human being were to stand up here, if I were to call any good man, listen, there's several good men in this congregation of people. I could call any one of them to come up here and say, now you tell them, come unto you, and you'll give them rest. You can't offer that. You would think, who does he think he is? But when you hear the words of Jesus, you say, thank God for Jesus. I'm so glad he's loving like that and willing. Then he said, Take my yoke upon you. Take it. Are you in the yoke? Are you? Are you walking with him? Are you letting him guide? See, when you get in the yoke with Jesus, he guides. Amen. He shows the path. He'll show you the way. So take my yoke upon you. Say, well, I got out of a yoke. I was laboring. You were in the wrong yoke. Jesus said, get in the right yoke. Well, preacher, I was heavy laden. See it there in verse number 28? I was heavy laden. And now you're saying that you're burdened. You're going to give me a burden? Yeah. Is that what Jesus said, brother? He said, I'm going to give you a yoke for your labor, and I'm going to give you a burden in exchange for the burden you had. But he said, my yoke is easy. Can I tell you, listen carefully now, the way of the transgressor is hard. Book of Proverbs says the way of transgressors is hard. Oh, I remember those hard times. Trying to do it on my own. Do it my way. Kick it against the pricks. Right? Oh, the way of the transgressor is hard, brethren. But the yoke of Jesus is easy. He said, I'll show you. I'll show you. Take my yoke upon you. Get in with me. Let me guide. Let me teach. You just learn, and you do as I do. The Bible says we all also to walk as he walked. 1 John chapter number 2. It's real, and it can happen. My question to you is, have you experienced the rest, the first rest? You say, well, yeah, I'm saved. I'm thankful. What about the second rest? Do you have rest? See, notice what the scripture says here. That first rest is something that's given to you. It's a gift. Verse 28, and I will give you rest. But if you look in verse number 29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. This rest is not going to be given to you. When you find something, it usually means you're on a search. You're on a quest. Can I tell you that people are just on this quest to find purpose in life, even believers. I have been in the gospel preaching ministry for 35 years, and I can't tell you the scores and scores, if not hundreds and hundreds of people that I have spoken to, that they're saved. They're saved. They've received the first rest. They've received the gift of God, and yet they are still searching. You need to pick up that yoke this morning, my friend. Please listen to me. God loves you. Pick up that yoke. Put it about your neck. Trust him. Let him guide you. Let him guide you. He can be trusted. Now, I can't say that about a man. I wouldn't even tell you to trust me. But you can trust Jesus. You can trust him. Take my yoke upon you. He said, it's easy. It's easy. You say, preacher, I'm seeing a hard way right now. Jesus wants to make it easier for you. Following Jesus is the way to go. Say, well,
I think I found the answer. I'll get saved and I'll get in Christ's yoke and I'll have no more problems. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. He didn't say that it would be no problems. He just said it'd be easier. Right? Man born of woman, his days are full of trouble. They are. Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. You're going to have problems. But Jesus said, if you'll walk with me, now listen carefully to this, you won't have to go through life alone. You listening? If you get in a yoke with Jesus, you'll have someone to do life with. I tell my wife often, I'm glad we get to grow old together. Well, she's not growing old. She's just maturing. Women don't get old, right, ladies? So my husband tells me I'm getting old all the time. That's why he's so skinny. Life is short, brethren. It's short. Can I tell you, at the best, you might have 70 years. At the best. I want you to listen to him. I'm going to close. At the best, you may have 70. You say, hot dog, I'm 50 years away. I didn't say you had 70. I said, at best, you may have 21. I don't know. The Bible says that no man knoweth what a day may bring forth. There's none of us promised tomorrow. Hey, now, wait a minute. You hold on there, preacher. You can't prove to me I won't be here tomorrow. Yeah. But you can't prove to me that you won't. Or that you will. Right? I can't prove you won't be here tomorrow, but you can't prove to me you will. You just don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But I'm glad I know who holds tomorrow. You ready? Life is like a vapor. Appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Everybody's working, doing something for somebody. Everyone. Right? Whose yoke you in? Who you working for? What kind of work you doing? You building your own kingdom? Or you got in the yoke with Jesus and you building God's kingdom? God's kingdom's everlasting. It's without end. Isn't that what the book teaches, brethren? That's what the Holy Bible teaches. The Word of God says it. I pray that you would get the message this morning. Now, here's what we're going to do. I want you to look one more time, then we're going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to what I preached to you this morning. See, God laid this message on my heart. Sometimes I come to church with sermons. Sometimes I come with messages. God gave me this message. God knew who was going to be here. I have no way. I never know who's going to be here. This is a good, faithful couple. I don't know if they're going to be here or not. Could have got sick. Not saying they did last week, but they could have. Oh, you did. I never know who's going to be here. But God gave me this message to tell you, come. If you don't know Jesus, you need to come. You need to come. John 6:37. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 5:40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Would you come? And then if you have come and you've trusted Christ, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Verse 29. He said, I'm meek. You know, a lot of people approach life not meek. Because people get meek and weak mixed up. Jesus didn't say, I'm weak. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 28, the same book right here, sometime you can turn over to chapter 28, where he said in verse number 18 or 19, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. So he's not weak. Don't mistake weakness and meekness. He's meek. He's humble. He's gentle. The yoke of Christ is gentle. It doesn't rub and cause infection and disease and pain. He said, I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Most people approach life totally opposite from that. Somebody crossed the line, they ready to roll up their sleeves and go at it. But Jesus said, now if you're going to learn from me, that's not the way. Saying, a preacher, sometimes you have to stand up for stuff. I understand that. Jesus went in the temple and didn't he? He scourged them. He did. But you can't scourge every situation. Jesus will teach you when and when not to, how and how to. Is that right, brethren? It sure is. So we've been talking about what saith the Scriptures. In the weeks to come on Sunday morning, I want to talk to you about this phrase right here in verse number 29. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You're going to learn of Jesus, you're going to have to get in this book. This is how you find out about Jesus right here. What saith the Scriptures about the Son of God? You're going to have to get in this book right here. What do you know about Jesus? Right here. Let's stand to our feet. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Say, preacher, I want a life with no problems. Well, when you get to heaven, that will be realized. But until then, there's going to be problems. But Jesus said, I'll be there with you. I'll be there with you. But you got to get in the yoke. I want you to bow your head with me for a moment.